This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Siobhan Mehta. Dr. Mehta is the Chief of Innovation at Penn Medicine. Penn Med is one of the elite great health systems in the country, great academic medical center, great provider of care, magnificent group. Dr. Mehta, by background, is a gastroenterologist who evolved into these roles. We're going to talk to her today about how to improve healthcare in America. We'll be with her for about 10 to 12 minutes. Dr. Mehta, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure, thanks. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited to be here and talk about some of my experiences in healthcare. So as you mentioned, I am a gastroenterologist by trade, so I take care of patients related to gastrointestinal diseases. I also play some additional roles at our health system, which is called Penn Medicine. It's an academic medical center in Philadelphia. So I'm the Associate Chief Innovation Officer for our health system, and so I lead a lot of innovation efforts focused on trying to develop, evaluate, and scale new ways of delivering care across our six hospital healthcare system. I also lead some quality and service line efforts related to digestive diseases as well in my own clinical area of gastroenterology.
So take a moment and talk about this. So many gastroenterologists are so busy as procedure list. With the advent of Medicare and colonoscopy screening and colon screening and the constant push for a little bit earlier colon screening, gastroenterologists are all so busy doing procedures. Many of them are involved in endoscopy centers. They have great careers. They do very well. What made you to choose this mix of paths where you're doing this great stuff for a magnificent academic medical center, also Associate Chief Innovation Officer? What drove you to this mix of careers versus what's become sort of the traditional career path for gastroenterologists, where they just do, so much work at their endoscopy center and do so well with it? And they fill a critical void in detecting cancer early. So I don't mean to a very, I mean a great thing that they do, but it's become such a great specialty. What made you to choose to do that and pivot some?
Absolutely. Well, I certainly enjoy the work I do in clinical gastroenterology. But for myself, this has been something that I've always thought of as I went into medicine, which is that it's important for me to take care of my own individual patients, but it's also important to try to make the system around us better. Because we know that I could do the best I can as a physician taking care of my individual patients, but they may not get better if they don't have the right health insurance, if they don't have the right practice structure, if there's not the right policies in place. And so personally, I've always been interested in how the healthcare system can influence our care, but more importantly, how we can leverage systems-based care to not just improve care for my own patients, but to improve care for all patients when it comes to gastrointestinal diseases.
So talk to us for a moment about what can be done to improve healthcare in the United States or in the world, but talk about the United States here. How do we improve healthcare? I view it as we have a magnificent system. We also have some challenges. We have a magnificent system, and we also have inequities. How do we make it better? How do we improve healthcare in the U.S.?
Absolutely. And so, I would agree with you that I think we do have a really great healthcare system. But, I might highlight a few of the challenges that have really just been amplified from the COVID-19 pandemic. These are things that have existed for many years. And now we're seeing it even more acutely as we deal with this, worldwide pandemic. One is the value of care we provide. So we spend a lot of money on healthcare, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but we want to get a return on our investment. We want to make sure that the outcomes for our patients are concordant with, all the resources we put towards it, because it is important. We're a well-off country, and we do care about, providing healthcare for our own and making sure that our entire population has good health. But if you look at a lot of metrics, particularly population metrics, things related to prevention, cancer screening, heart disease, things like that, we do well, but not as well as we could. And that's because there's not as much of a lens looking at the population. There's not the right incentives looking at population-based care as compared to, providing individual level of care. So I think that's one big issue. The second is related to equity, just as you alluded to. who you are and where you live can dramatically affect what kind of care you have, and importantly, your health outcomes. We know mortality is much worse for COVID and for any disease among certain populations, and that's a complete shame for us. You know, as a wealthy country and as a country that cares about the health of our population, we need to do better in that regard, and we need to focus on that more. And then the last piece, I'd say, in terms of the challenges, would be just the burden on our clinicians and frontline healthcare workers. And this isn't just physicians, this is nurses and all of the folks that are involved in caring for our patients. And there's just been so much burden on them with the changes in technology, the changes in the pandemic. And I do worry about the experience from their perspective, whether it's mental health or even burnout and things like that. So I think all of those are important issues. And if I were to think about ways to improve upon this, I think we have to think about it on a broader macro level, thinking about policies, reimbursement programs, and that's on a societal level. We have to incentivize and put efforts towards the metrics and things that we care about. And so if we care about those things I mentioned, then we need to put resources towards it, whether it's insurance policy or governmental policies, and to guide everyone in the right direction, create the right environment to allow people to innovate, locally. And as a response to that, we need to encourage people on a local level, whether it's at a place like Penn Medicine or any healthcare environment or even non-healthcare environments, to think about and to create this environment where we can, rapidly change and test things, evaluate things, and create an environment where we don't just get stuck with sort of what we always have been doing. We focus on the outcomes that we care about, and then we encourage our colleagues and everyone to, test things very quickly, but also be somewhat rigorous about evaluating it and making sure that, we're getting sort of the bang for our buck in terms of all the resources that we put towards patient care.
And talk a little bit about, you had mentioned the burden on clinicians, providers, and nurses, and everybody that's involved in providing care. Is there a solve for that? And do we just need more doctors and nurses to make it easier to become a doctor and nurse?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's understanding. I mean, I think the first step is understanding what the reasons are behind this. And a lot of it is that, healthcare was different and medical care was different, 20, 30, 40 years ago when people that went into the field, chose to go into the field. And so they were expecting certain things. And now healthcare has evolved in some ways for the better, in some ways, maybe not as much for the better. And in doing so, there's that sort of mismatch of expectations. A lot of that is related to, technology, is that, we're in this sort of, transformation of healthcare, moving from, just taking care of individual patients with handwritten records to leveraging technology to being accountable for populations of patients. And so whenever you have those transitions, there's going to be some people that get frustrated and get left behind. And so there are some reasons behind it in terms of what we can do about it. I'm not sure it's necessarily just, hiring more doctors. I think it's, the first step is acknowledging that it's a problem and putting this as a priority. So health systems, insurance companies should, look at this when they look at this, all the metrics they look at, whether it's, patient experience or patient outcomes or, looking at the financial aspects of care. This should be part of that. This should be up there at the highest level of things that we care about, which is that the caregivers, the people that provide care, we should be understanding that. So I think that's one piece of it. And then trying to understand that it's a multifactorial problem. There's no one thing that will solve this. Fixing the electronic health record is not the only thing. There's all sorts of different aspects, and resources could certainly help. All those things would help. And really understanding people's perspectives and trying to think about tackling all these different aspects of it with a lens towards the caregivers, because they can't take care of our patients effectively if they're not feeling cared for themselves.
100%. And talk a moment about the role of being a chief or associate chief innovation officer and where you put your time there and what you're most excited about in the role of this role of innovation, of working in innovation.
Yeah, no, it's an absolutely interesting field. And innovation is certainly not something new to healthcare. It's always been going on, particularly at places like Penn Medicine. Our particular focus is healthcare delivery innovation. So not just, coming up with, new molecules or new drugs or things like that, but also thinking about how we can innovate when it comes to care delivery. And so we were created about eight or nine years ago at our health system with a goal of leveraging our health system as a learning lab. And our group is particularly focused on a couple of things. You know, I think if I were to boil it down to two things, is how can we go faster in healthcare? You know, normally change happens slowly. It takes a long time because, you know, for there's lots of, you know, legitimate reasons, but there's a lot of inertia as well. And so how do we evolve and make healthcare better in a much quicker way? So speed of innovation is something that we're measured on. And the second is how do we also be rigorous about it, which it's seemingly at odds where, you know, can you go faster but also be rigorous about it? But can you find ways to do both at the same time? And so what we do is we work, you know, we have a few areas that we focus on. One is working with frontline healthcare workers, those that understand deeply about the problems of care delivery, you know, whether it's a dermatologist or a practice manager in primary care. They're there on the front lines. They understand some of these problems. So they come to us with problems and even some sense of solutions. And what we do is we help them to translate those ideas to action because, you know, we give them some additional support, whether it's resources or manpower or people power to help them to kind of test and evaluate these things very quickly. So that's a big area of what we do is helping frontline workers in sort of a bottom-up way to sort of achieve those goals. A second thing we do is we take tasks from the, you know, very high strategic imperatives. Obviously, there's a lot related to the pandemic, whether it's responding to care for patients with COVID-19, but also moving towards telemedicine and sort of remote types of care. How do we sort of help on those very strategic issues? And so that's another area that I think has been important. And then also, you know, creating platforms to help everybody innovate without necessarily even working with us. Creating software platforms, getting data, better regulatory mechanisms to work with our institutional review board, which is involved in regulating research and things like that. And so that leads to a big area that I'm particularly interested in is that historically research on healthcare delivery and clinical operations or operational management have been sort of separate. And how do we bring those together? How do we make clinical operations and quality improvement more rigorous and generalizable? But how do we take some of these research methods and make them more relevant to local care? And so that intersection of, you know, traditional healthcare delivery or health services research and, you know, quality improvement and innovation is a particular area that I've been really interested in.
So what a fascinating career. So now I understand that Yale undergraduate, several degrees from University of Pennsylvania. And so I guess the great question I have for you is, does it take 5 degrees, 3 or 4 from University of Pennsylvania and 1 Yale degree to equal 1 Harvard degree, or is Yale and Penn better than Harvard?
I think I'm going to abstain from that, you know, as a employee and faculty member at the University of Pennsylvania, I will say that those degrees were particularly important for my success. I believe that we are training people very, very well. But the reality is that I think these degrees are important, but also learning these things on the job, you know, in real life experience is also critically important.
It's far more important what you do after you earn the degrees than getting the degrees. The question's a facetious question. Yale and University of Pennsylvania, two of the greatest institutions in the world. And obviously you, who's multi-degreed from all of them, is far more important what you do today than what you did in medical school or business school or in college. But it is impressive, a Yale undergraduate and several degrees from the University of Pennsylvania, magnificent institutions. And again, we all know it is far more important what you do when you graduate and after you graduate than what you did in college and medical school. But it is impressive. So.
Yeah, I agree that, you know, I've been very fortunate to be part of these great institutions, and there's a lot of great ones out there. But at the end of the day, it's about, you know, what you do in your career and how you focus your efforts and how you surround yourself with other people and other colleagues that are just really, really great to work with. And I've been very fortunate in that regard.
Well, we as a health system are fortunate to have people like yourself that choose to not just do their day job, but to grow into broader roles, broader responsibilities. Obviously, a lot of energy, a lot of intelligence, and a lot of talent. Dr. Mehta, what a great pleasure for Grace and I to visit with you today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.